and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And this week, I have in the studio two fellas that are here from Ryder Walker. They are known as the Global Trekking Specialists. And in fact, they have consistently been rated as one of the top 10 best companies on the planet for alpine adventures and actually all kinds of different adventures, in particular by National Geographic Traveler magazine. And guess what? This company is based here in Telluride, Colorado. And I am happy to welcome Peter Walker and Kenny Fuhr to Travel Fun. Welcome, guys.
Thanks very much for having us, Mary Beth.
It's good to have you here. Now, let me say, Peter Walker is the founder president of Ryder Walker Alpine Adventures, and Kenny Fuhr is one of the head guides. So we are going to be talking about Ryder Walker and how you've come to be known as one of the top outfitters in, I was going to say in the country, but obviously it goes beyond the U.S. borders, for trekking around the globe. Peter, I'd like to start with you since you are the founder, president of Ryder Walker, and you are coming up on three decades. I had mentioned this earlier, and would you say you've been involved with this for about 27 years at this point?
Well, Ryder Walker has been involved. It was incorporated in 1984, so this is our 27th season that's coming up this summer. That being said, I've been involved in it since the mid-70s, so it, you know, is well beyond 30 years.
And how did the company get going?
Well, as a high school job, I used to lead hiking trips in the Alps for a friend of my father's. And one summer, this fellow set me and another guy named John Ryder kind of off on our own to take our own trips and without, his oversight. And at the end of one of them, all of our clients came together and they said, you know, we love everything that you do. We're not exactly sure. We're terrifically fond of the guy who employs you. So we'd love to set you up with your own company. And they gave us a little bit of money and told us we had so many years to make the whole operation float. And we did. And so here we are.
All right. So were you an alpine specialist of sorts from the get-go?
Yeah. Ever since I first went to Switzerland to work for a friend of my father's, I became just, addicted to mountain travel and just exploring the more remote areas of the world as much as I possibly could, and was also really enamored of just watching all these people travel all over these big mountains with ropes and all the gear clanging off of them. I thought, oh my God, that's got to be the coolest thing in the world. So immediately came back from my first summer there, and a couple of friends and I chipped in some money, and we ended up with a rope and some gear, and we went off to teach ourselves, how to manage properly in the mountains.
How has the company evolved since those very beginnings?
Well, it started out as just John Ryder and another fellow, Roger Baxter Jones, and myself. And we really just had enough work for us. But as the company has matured over the years and we've our product range has diversified and we've taken on more staff, it's become more of a responsibility for me and others in our office to try and provide for, you know, those people and the families of those people. So we've expanded into, you know, areas that are not strictly just, trekking through the Alps, but rather work here in North America, also Asia. Also a very extensive menu of self-guided hiking opportunities that is, part of the bread and butter of the Ryder Walker outings.
Okay, let's talk about what makes Ryder Walker in that creme de la creme category of alpine adventure companies, because there are so many of them in America and across the world. And as I mentioned earlier, you have received the distinction by many different publications that you're one of the top companies
Well, I think that's pretty easy to address. You know, first of all, it's our depth of knowledge. I and all of our head guides know more about the Alps and many of the places that we operate than even the locals do. We've been doing it just for so long. And, you know, we have a... You know, you experience that here in Telluride also. We have the passion of somebody who is not only an insider, but an outsider. So we see the whole environment from two different perspectives. And we can really, it allows us to empathize with all of our client base in a way that you can't necessarily, if you're just doing the same thing day after day, and you know that you're going to be doing this exact same thing 6 months from now. Kenny, Daniel, we're constantly moving around the planet. And, so nothing ever gets old for us. So I think we bring a very fresh perspective to everything that we do. And I think that's important to kind of the personality profile of Ryder Walker. Another element is that we almost never say no to anybody. If they ask us if something is possible, we look at them, we say, we're going to figure out how to make this possible for you. And it may be a little irrational on the front end, but we all know that by the time we're done figuring out exactly how to provide this experience, it's going to be a very valuable thing for others down the road.
That sounds good. I want some details on that one. What is the most outrageous request you have had? I'm envisioning some kind of a birthday celebration on the top of some peak in Switzerland or something like that.
Well, we've certainly had exactly that. I mean, we've had our share of champagne toasts roped up to people in very precarious places in very, very unsettled weather and that kind of thing. We've also had people who say, listen, you know, I've got 60 days and I want to trek from one side of Europe to the other. Can you figure out how to do that in a different place every single night? And, and we just don't say no. We think, okay, this is going to be quite a challenge initially, but, once again, once we're through it, we're going to have our breadth and depth of knowledge. It's going to be so much greater that it's going to be worth it in the end.
Kenny, I'd like to hear from you about, especially since you're one of the head guides for Ryder Walker, in your opinion, what puts this adventure specialist in a category of its own?
Well, I think really just sort of piggybacking on what Peter said, the fact that the people who work for the company have done for so long and are so integrated with Peter. You know, it's really his faith in us that makes you think that wherever you go, you know, you belong there and you're going to be better at what it is that you're doing. And, you know, I really think it's just the experience of the guides and just the time that we've been able to spend and our passion for being there. It's the same thing with living in Telluride, which over my years here, I haven't gotten tired of it, and getting to go each summer to Switzerland, it's a delight. And so when I show up in June for the Dolomite trip, it's really a perfect place to be. And, you know, I'm as excited about being there as the group that I'm going to be hiking through the place with. So I think it's the people that he has working for him.
And let me ask you the second part of that question. What was the greatest challenge you have experienced as a guide in terms of meeting the needs of a client?
The greatest challenge for meeting the needs of the clients, you know, it might be as important just to try to figure out what it is that they think that they want rather than what it is that they're telling you that they want. You know, if you know sort of you've got 5 days to get from here to there, and the challenge is to convince them that you've got them in the right place on each day, even if they're thinking, well, we need to go so far and we need to do this much today, but you know that you've got 4 more days and you know how you can balance those 4 days to make each day really successful for them. So getting them to sort of buy in to what you're saying is probably the biggest challenge. And once they have some success along the trail, then that gets a lot easier. But sometimes it's convincing people that you can really see the long-term view of their whole trip, you know, more than just today.
Do you find that people tend to overestimate their ability level?
It can happen, but at the same time, we've got people who underestimate it too, and they end up doing a whole lot more on any given trip. You know, we'll be maybe halfway up some hillside and they'll be looking across the way. Well, why can't we go over there? And it's kind of back to what Peter said earlier. The answer isn't necessarily no. We might say, well, we can. And, you know, we always have two guides on the trail on any of our given trips. So sometimes it might work out where a guide can go off with somebody who wants to do more or less. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's hard for people to pinpoint it exactly where they're going to be. But we do have situations where people are able to do even more than they imagined.
What level of ability is required in general? Do you have to be in super physical shape to go on a rider walker trip? Perhaps it depends on which trip you're selecting.
Well, for certain it does. A lot of our trips are easier than others. But honestly, it's really about motivation. If you really are motivated to be outside and to spend your time outside, and I really think that's one of the best things about our trips that we do, is that you spend primarily most of your time, you're outside. And we can adjust the trips by day to have longer or shorter hiking, just about any trip anywhere, we can do that. And, you know, as long as people are willing to put in their time and to be out there, it might take all day to go a shorter way, but we can do it, you know. So I don't think you have to be in great physical shape. And certainly we see people get in better shape as they go through the weeks. And one of the real rewarding things for me over the years are seeing people come back the next year and they're in a whole lot better shape. I mean, they might look totally different. You look at them and you say, wow. And all of a sudden their trip that they did last year changed their entire life. And, you know, as a hiking guide, that's about as rewarding as it gets when you see that kind of thing. So it's good for everyone.
Peter, since when you started, it sounds as though your main focus was on Europe. And since then, you've gone beyond Europe, and you're now taking people to other parts of the world. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that is born out of a comment earlier, which was that, you know, we've become a large enough organization with enough mouths to feed at this point that we needed to find a way to diversify in ways that, you know, if somebody called up and they said, well, it's my kid's spring break, last 2 weeks of March, and we would really like to go hiking somewhere. And, you know, formerly we would have said, you know, I'm sorry, it's still, you know, ski time in the Alps. Why don't you wait until the middle of June and then we'll talk about it. We just figured, okay, the world is full of plenty of places where there's very rewarding, you know, hiking, climbing, other outdoor experiences on what would traditionally be considered alpine shoulder seasons. And so we basically embraced that. And so we started doing a bunch of research in Asia. We're starting a trip tomorrow, actually, in Bhutan. You know, for example, you know, that's a place where there's a lot that you can do from March on, and also in the fall. And then, as we were discussing earlier, I just got back from Ireland, where we've been researching trips, which, again, you can hike in Ireland year-round if you want to. Not that January would be the most pleasant time, but it is a possibility. And
the tea tastes all the better.
Yeah, the colder and damper, the better the tea, for sure. And likewise, the desert southwest around here and the Telluride region, you know, during the, you know, foliage period in late September, early October, is a wonderful place to be. So that's, you know, those are the reasons we've diversified. The outcome is perhaps a little bit more synergistic in that we're having an awful lot of fun with all of these new places where we never would have originally thought we needed to be.
Okay, I am visiting with Peter Walker and Kenny Fuhr. We're talking about Rider Walker, Alpine Adventures, a company that is based here in Telluride, Colorado. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about those ties to Telluride and to Colorado, and also the kinds of tours, adventures you offer in this region. Be right back.
We'll be right back.
and welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Peter Walker and Kenny Fuhrer from Rider Walker Alpine Adventures. And this is a company that's based in Telluride, Colorado. And Peter is actually the founder president. And Peter, I would like to ask you, first of all, I have to say, as I mentioned earlier, Rider Walker is recognized as one of the top alpine adventure specialists in the world. How did you end up in Telluride, Colorado?
Well, I was living pretty much from April through October in the Alps, working initially for another company. And then once Rider Walker was allowed to move forward for Rider Walker proper, and also independently guiding and biding my time mostly between Zermatt and Chamonix. And then I would come home and meet my girlfriend and now my wife, Karen, and try and drum up enough business for the next summer, and also do a bit of ski teaching back east. And one year we just decided that if most of our income was derived from high mountain adventures, that we probably ought to live in a more high mountain environment than back on the New York Connecticut border and just be doing all of this commuting. So she was teaching school at a prep school for dyslexic boys back east, and we took one spring break and flew out to Albuquerque. And our plan was to come to Telluride and then go to Jackson, then to Sand Point, and see if there was any ski area that really suited our needs. And we got to Telluride and ran into some old friends and some old mutual friends from the 4th Avenue Alpine Club, which was based in our college as well as in Anchorage. And this guy happened to be a realtor, and he showed us a house that was way out of our price range, but we kind of stretched and lived on nothing for many years after that and made it work, and were able to move Rider Walker out here. There were some significant challenges initially, like we have been based in Ames up until last year for a long time. When we were first trying to get our phones hooked up, I called the phone company and they said, "Where are you?" And I said, "Ames." And they said, "Well, that's only a party line place." And we kind of thought, well, you can't really do business on a party line. And they said, "Well, that's what it is." And so we said, "Well, what does it take to get a phone connected up here?" And so they did a little research and realized that it was 12 miles from the nearest junction box. And they said at that time it was $5,000 a mile to lay phone cable. So Yikes. If we could just come up with an extra $60,000, we could have our own phone. But fortunately, it turned out that there were some loopholes in that, and that they were actually wrong, and we were able to move forward. But that was one of the initial daunting hurdles that we had to jump over.
Okay. And of course, Telluride, it seems, has ended up being a perfect place for you to be located within the beautiful San Juan Mountains.
Yeah, that's the case for a lot of reasons. One, of course, is that when I first moved here, it seemed logical to try and do around here what we do in the Alps. So I applied to the Forest Service and the BLM to get permits to guide on the 14ers and the more popular hiking destinations and the better rock climbing and ice climbing areas. And so we've held those permits for well over two decades, and they've proved to be quite valuable to us. Also, in order just to make ends meet, I started working for the ski school, and that's really been kind of the conduit through which I've been able to find all of the people who have made Rider Walker so special. Because, there you've got a pool of hundreds and hundreds of very enthusiastic mountain people, great communicators. They simply want to be outdoors with people all day long as much as possible. And my thought was that, I'd find the people I liked the most. And if it turned out that their clients liked them too, which is, we can, just hit a button on a computer and it quantifies that. That seemed to be a win-win situation. Then I figured I can certainly teach them everything that they need to know about the mountains to be successful in our industry. And so that's really how it germinated. And it's just grown from there.
Okay, well, Telluride Ski and Snowboard School is definitely a great place to meet people, and also meeting all the clients and interacting, and I can vouch for that myself. Kenny, you are one of the head guides for Rider Walker. You also are a top ski instructor in Telluride. And why don't you talk a little bit about some of the tours that are offered in Telluride and the greater Telluride area? Our own little alpine adventure here. And I do put little in quotes because we've got some pretty impressive
right, exactly. peaks. And yeah, well, Peter sort of touched on it. Our main thing is that our idea, we were doing these great hiking trips in Switzerland, so we love the San Juans as much as anywhere. Why can't we do it here? And the trip that we run in the fall every year, it's got a name, it's the Telluride Trek. And it does two nights in Ouray, so we meet our guests there. We do a hike that, you know, uses some Jeep transfer, but gets to Silverton for a night, which is really fun. With another transfer, we hike over Hope Lake Pass, is what I call it, for lack of a better name. And then down past Trout Lake, we stay overnight in Rico. So bringing a group of hikers into Rico is real special and unique, and stay with Eamon at the Rico Hotel. People really love that. And the linchpin of the trip is the next hiking day, where you can actually hike from Rico over to Danton Hot Springs and stay the night there, and people just don't want to leave that place.
I'm sure it's good that you do that at the end.
Well, you know, we do, but there is, you hike out of there, and we have a great day hike that goes across to Woods Lake, and then transfer up to Telluride, and we have a couple days hiking on the end here in Telluride, because it should finish in Telluride. And that really has been the absolute pleasure of that, is bringing what we do in the Alps right here to home. And so it's been a really successful trip, and we time it for the fall colors. You know, it's perfect. And people who've hiked with us in Switzerland, who come here and do that trip, they love it. They just love it. We have another trip that we run in the spring that's down in the Moab area, and we go down to Sedona too. So we're trying to do more stuff around here. You know, if you've got any ideas for us, Mary Beth, we'd love to hear them too.
Well, what about any kind of ski trips or backcountry ski trips or anything along those lines, either here or abroad?
Well, yeah, you know, both of them, it's great because we were able to take, you know, ski school and rider walker, which is taking people skiing and then taking people to the Alps, and connect those two. For the last 5 years, we've been running Alpenglow ski safaris, which runs two different guided trips through the winter in the Alps. And that is town to town ski treks. And we use the chairlift, the ski systems, to get to places where we'll actually ski off-piste. And often we can ski from one town to the next town, sending people's luggage around. And so we've really created a unique ski trek sort of experience. And we keep going to different places and keep finding more possibilities. So one trip we're really looking forward to running next year, just to kind of put an idea out there, is to actually ski the Monte Rosa circuit, which would take you for a couple nights in Switzerland, in Italy for five nights and five just otherworldly, outstanding, beautiful valleys, and using lift systems to connect, for the most part, a little bit of ski touring, back into Switzerland, and then you'd eventually return to Zermatt in 8 days of skiing. So we're really excited about that one, but we're always trying to do something new with that stuff too. Around here, for backcountry skiing around here, well, we have Telluride Mountain Guides that Peter, as he said, he's had for a long time, and there's a, you know, obviously tons of exciting and excellent stuff you can do. There's a couple huts around, you know, it's interesting to try to throw some things like that into it, and yeah, we're really game to do more of that stuff in the future, for sure.
Okay. And Peter, I'd like you to talk about the unique relationship you have created with PSIA, Professional Ski Instructors of America.
Yeah, well, we had kind of a funny moment last summer when it occurred to me that I really wasn't going to be able to work for the ski company here any longer due to, you know, elevated responsibilities with Ryder Walker. And I called the PSIA and I asked them, you know, how do I maintain all of various certifications that I've worked hard for over the decades? And they said, well, we'll get back to you. And they called back and they said, well, you know, we've been thinking about you guys because they've known us for a long time. And they said that they would really like it if we would become our own certified member school, completely independent of any, you know, specific bit of acreage. And that we would at that point start to offer the PSIA membership more continuing education opportunities around the globe, particularly in Europe, and particularly focused on all of the new side country opportunities that are so popular around the ski industry.
So big in the ski industry.
Yeah, and you know, obviously everybody knows about it here through all of the publicity that all of the contentious elements of Access and Bear Creek have emerged as. But the beauty for us is that those land ownership issues really don't exist in the Alps. There really are no border policies. Occasionally, you're forbidden for very, very real and practical purposes not to enter into a particular drainage. And more often than not, those are days where you couldn't even see that drainage, you know, if you wanted to ski in there. So, you know, we basically have taken that ball and run with it. And I believe that we are the first completely mobile certified member school in the PSIA, where we can just go to any ski area and with, you know, the blessings of their ownership, teach whoever we would like to on their property, as well as being kind of an educational, I don't know, bit of energy, just perk the PSIA up a bit and take them abroad and to enjoy some ski opportunities that really we can only glimpse the very, have the very smallest glimpse of here due to, you know, legal constraints.
Wow, that sounds like quite the feat, especially with PSIA, because they're pretty strict about everything. Now, I imagine you have information about that on your website.
Yeah, it's actually, you can link to it through the Ryder Walker website, but more conveniently, if you go straight to Alpenglow Ski Safaris, you'll learn a lot about what we do.
Okay. And the Ryder Walker site is?
RyderWalker.com.
And Ryder is R-Y.
Correct. Thank you.
D-E-R-Walker.com. I am visiting with Peter Walker, founder of Ryder Walker Alpine Adventures, and head guide Kenny Fuhr. What do you think people enjoy the most out of your trips? Maybe Kenny, since you guide people so much, you might be a good person to answer that.
Well, the group trips I work with, you hope by the end of it's the group experience. You know, because that's what they can get that's unique with us. And oftentimes it doesn't always look like that when you start. Sometimes you'll have maybe a kind of a disparaging group and they'll be looking at each other like, oh, he's a doctor, she's a lawyer. You know, then that's part of your goal is to try to bring out the sunnier sides of these people. And, you know, being in the mountains, being on the trail, people come together and they get to share this experience. And so I really think when it's all said and done, the culture part of it is great. The scenery is great. Being outside, getting that fresh air is great. But I like to think that when it's all said and done, they look at the group that they were with and the time that they spent in the places with those people is what makes it really so special.
Absolutely. And with the guides and...
Well, we do our best. Yeah.
The scenery, the food, the wine, the everything.
It's pretty good.
Is there anything you'd like to add? Anything we haven't talked about?
We have some good local stuff going around here in the summer, too. Peter, like you said, he's got some great permits for people to get them up to some of the high places around here. So if you're coming to Telluride this summer and you want to get a 14er under your belt, a good place to start is Telluride Mountain Guides is our local arm.
Okay, and there's information about that on RyderWalker.com as well?
Yeah, it also has its own website entity, which is TellurideMountainGuides.com, right?
Wow, you guys are busy.
Well, we're trying, you know, and Peter did say it earlier that he sort of feels a responsibility to a group of us who work for him, and we're really lucky that he feels like that and that he's done what he's done. And, you know, the whole thing does stand on this man's charisma, I must say.
All righty. Well, listen, no wonder you've received such accolades. Once again, I've been visiting with Peter Walker and Kenny Fuhr from Ryder Walker Alpine Adventures. Check them out on the web at RyderWalker.com. And once again, they're a business based in Telluride and really don't hear too much about you within Telluride so much. A little bit, but you kind of keep a low profile. So I'm glad to have both of you as guests on Travel Fun. And I wish you lots of very fun and super safe treks in the months and years to come.
Thank you, Mary Beth.
Mary Beth.
Take care. I will be blogging about Ryder Walker at bonjourcolorado.com and hopefully get this interview up as a podcast as well. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
Can use some exotic booze. There's a bar in far Bombay.
Come on, fly with me. We'll float down in the blue.